Gospel of John, chapter 6. And our text this evening is found there in the 6th verse. John chapter 6 and verse 6. The Lord Jesus, we are told, we might read verse 5 just to get the context. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He himself knew what he would do. We notice in our text how carefully the Holy Spirit guards the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. For had the words of our text not been included in this chapter, some who are enemies of the truth and enemies of the Lord would have accused him of being at a loss as to what to do with regarding the feeding of 5,000. They would say that he was no wiser or no better off than Philip himself. They would say, how could he be God if, like Philip, he didn't know what to do? So the Holy Spirit includes the words, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And it is a great comfort to us when in our times of trial and crisis, there is one that we know who always knows what to do. In our times of crisis and trial and tribulation, when things come upon us and we hardly know what way to turn and we don't know what to do, we rejoice that we have our trust in one who always knows what to do. It is said of the children of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12 and 32 that they were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. When Solomon was faced with a great problem that was brought to him, Solomon knew what to do. 1 Kings 3 verses 23 to 28. But now we see that a greater than Solomon is here. While Solomon was the wisest of all men, yet his wisdom was limited. The wisdom of Christ knows no limits, no boundaries. The Lord Jesus himself knew what he would do. And believer, here is a text that we would do well to make ourselves familiar with, for it will stand us in good stead in our times of crisis, that we have in the Lord Jesus, our Savior, one who will always know what to do. I want us to notice, first of all, this evening, Philip and his difficulty. The miracle of the feeding of 5,000, which is recorded in all four Gospels, and you know well that it's the only miracle, as recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Other miracles may be recorded in two or three of the Gospels, but this is the only miracle recorded in all four. And here we find Philip and indeed the other disciples facing a great problem that they could not solve. Turn to Matthew 14, please. Matthew 14 and verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away." That was their answer to the problem. Matthew 14, verse 15, they said to the Lord, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." They really didn't have an answer. That was the best that they could come up with. Send the multitude away. Now we see with regard to this difficulty that arose, that it was a sudden difficulty. We see that the disciples were having a time of rest and fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We know that from verse 3. Jesus went up into a mountain and there sat with his disciples. Just him and his disciples. And just in passing again, we see here how the Lord delights to be in the company of his disciples. I trust that each one of us here enjoys being in the company of the Lord. He enjoys being in our company. May we ever enjoy being in his company. But there's the Lord Jesus and his disciples, and they're alone. He had already left the multitudes and gone over Galilee to be alone with the disciples. And then it seems suddenly a multitude of people appear. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company. The Lord's eyes, we would gather, was upon his disciples. He was ministering to them, speaking with them, addressing them, looking at each one of them. And then we're told he lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. I like that. They were coming on to him. They weren't coming on to Peter or James or John. They were coming on to him. May the Lord give us a day when multitudes come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now if the Lord Jesus just lifted up his eyes at that moment in time and saw the multitude, that indicates to me that the disciples didn't notice the multitude gathering. Until the Lord lifted up his eyes and until the Lord challenged Philip. And said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Even though the disciples could see, as it were, that there always had been a multitude following Christ, yet this appearance of this particular multitude in many ways surprised them. Isn't that how it is sometimes? Isn't that how it is sometimes that our difficulties take us by surprise? Our difficulties come upon us and we may say to one another, "Well, I didn't see that coming. I didn't expect that to happen." And it takes us completely by surprise and it throws us off guard. And we don't know what to do. Well, dear Christian, please remember that in your Lord, in your Savior, in the one who is your friend, you have a person who knows what to do. He knows what to do. If our difficulties and our problems take us by surprise, there is no set of circumstances ever take Christ by surprise. The Lord is never taken by surprise. Never. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows all things. He is God. And this verse proves it. He himself knew what he would do. See, the Lord is in control. Look at the words. He himself knew what he would do. Wasn't the mother of the Lord saying, "Well, I know what you'll do, Philip. I know what my followers will do." The important thing is, the Lord himself knew what he would do. And that's important. And so, dear Christian, the Lord Jesus always knows what he will do with our situations, with our difficulties and our problems. He knows what to do. We don't. Many times. Problems come upon us and we say, "What am I going to do?" The Lord Jesus knows what to do. It's a sudden difficulty. It's a sizable difficulty. Now this was no small matter. But a difficulty that completely overwhelmed the disciples. We've just read there in Matthew. What they decided to do. They said, "Send them away." Now these poor souls had been following the Lord for days. And the best that the disciples could come up with was, "Send them away." Here was a sizable difficulty and they didn't have an answer. Look at the largeness of the host. We are aware that the scriptures inform us that there were about 5,000 men in that great company. The Lord divided them into groups of 50. Groups of 50. We know that from Luke 9, verses 14 to 16. So that means there were at least 100 groups of 50 each. Now that means that each disciple, think of it, each disciple had just over 8 groups of people to attend to. That's a lot of people for one man. There they are on the hillside. And the disciples are attending to the needs of this multitude of people. Everywhere they looked, there were people needing fed. Everywhere they looked, there were people in great need. Everywhere they turned, in front of them, beside them, behind them. That was a sizable difficulty. Isn't that how our difficulties come upon us sometimes? They're quite sizable. They come upon us and everywhere we turn, there seems to be a need. Seems to be something else that we need to attend to. Something else we need to do. Another problem that needs to be solved. We wonder in ourselves, how are we going to cope with all this? Everywhere I turn, there are things that I must attend to. What am I going to do? The Lord asked Philip what he would do. And we're told the Lord Jesus knew what he would do. It wasn't a difficulty for Christ. And believe those things that trouble us may be difficulties for us to cope with, but they're not a difficulty for the Lord. No matter how sizable that difficulty is. No matter how sizable that problem is. It's no difficulty for Christ. He himself knew what he would do. Not only do we have the largeness of the host, but we have the littleness of the help. Philip told the Lord that 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. In other words, Philip was as much as saying, we don't have enough to make ends meet. 200 penny worth will never feed this multitude of people. We don't have enough to make ends meet. I think in the course of your life, and certainly in the course of mine, we have been there. And we have said to our spouses, we don't have enough to make ends meet. What are we going to do? There's not one of us who hasn't said that at some time or another. And it is then, in such circumstances, that we know the value of the words. He himself knew what he would do. And dear Christian, tonight our trust is in one who always knows what to do. What a blessed truth that is. What a blessed friend we have. What a wonderful Savior is ours. One who always knows what to do. We ought then to go to him when these problems arise. Because if we don't know what to do, Christ does. Not only do you have the largeness of the host, the littleness of the help. Didn't have enough money to buy bread to feed the great company of people. But you have the lateness of the hour. Philip and the others were faced with this difficulty at the close of the day. Turn with me, please, to Mark. It's always good to compare the scriptures, and particularly the gospels, where you come across a miracle. It's always good to look at how the other evangelists record that miracle. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages to buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Well, that was sort of stating the obvious. They didn't have anything to eat. And once again, we have the disciples and their answer to the problem, send them away. We can't do anything for them. Let them go and buy bread for themselves. We can't help them. We can't do anything for them. The problem of feeding the multitude, as far as the disciples were concerned, could not have come at a worse time. The day was far spent. Of course, that is when our difficulties seem to arrive, isn't that right? Our difficulties come upon us and we say, this could not have happened to me at a worse time. We may be attending to other matters. We may be trying to solve other problems. And then another crisis hits us. And we said, couldn't have come at a worse time. Well, the Lord Jesus knew all about the timing. The Lord knew all about the multitudes. The Lord knew all about how much money the disciples had. The Lord knew the people were hungry. The Lord knew that the disciples didn't have an answer. Just as he knows that we of ourselves don't have an answer to our crisis. But remember this. He himself knew what he would do. And while things may happen to us and we say to ourselves it couldn't have happened at a worse time, we know that God is sovereign. We know the Lord Jesus is sovereign. He's sovereign. And he allows things to happen. And his timing is always right. We may think that these things happen to us at a very bad time. But the Lord is sovereign. All things, it's hard to get a grip of that text and understand it and live it and believe it. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. He himself. I like how the emphasis is placed on the Lord. He himself knew what he would do. And so, believer, when our troubles come, put them all into the hands of the Lord, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let the Lord take care of the matter. And ask the Lord to give you peace and trust and faith in him that he will take care of everything. So it was a sizable difficulty. It was a sudden difficulty. Came upon the disciples, as it were, without warning. But then I notice it was a shared difficulty. Yes, it was a difficulty that all of the disciples shared. The Lord may have said to Philip, how are we going to feed this multitude? But really he was addressing all of the disciples. The disciples shared the difficulty. But then I want you to notice, in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? He didn't say, Philip, whence will you buy bread? No, the Lord Jesus included himself. When shall we buy bread? The Lord was saying to the disciples, we're in this together. You're faced with the difficulty of feeding this multitude. Now what are we going to do about it? My, isn't it good to know that in our difficulties, the Lord is with us. Isn't it good to know that our difficulties are his difficulties? Isn't it good to know that our trials are his trials? Isn't it good to know that our tears are his tears? Isn't it good to know that our problems are his problems? Because he shares them with us. The Lord is saying, said to the disciples that day, we're in this together. just as I read in Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. So we're one with the Lord. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. We're in it together. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. There's old Nebuchadnezzar, he looks into the fiery furnace. Here are the three Hebrew children cast into the fiery furnace. He looks in and behold, he sees a fourth. And he identifies him. One like unto the Son of Man. There's Christ. He's in the fire with his children. And dear Christian, Christ is in the fire with us. He says, what are we going to do? Speaking to Mr. Middleton there this afternoon. He had a lady in his church giving her testimony this evening. She had three children. The first child, when it was born, his brain had not developed properly. And suffered this great handicap. Her second child was born and the child was perfectly normal. A few years later, the third child was born and it was the same as the first. Had the same deformity. When the first child was 6 or 7, the child died. 9 days later, the third child died. You can imagine how that mother and her husband felt about that. But Mr. Middleton said it was wonderful. Hearing her testimony and how the Lord brought her through those crises in her life. The death of 2 children in the space of 9 days. See, the Lord was in the fire with her. The Lord went through the flood with her. It's not how are you going to cope, but the Lord says, how are we going to get through this? The Lord's in these things with us. And as well as that, he himself knew what he would do. Lord knows what to do. So you fill up in his difficulty. Next you have Philip and his despair. When the Lord Jesus saw the multitude, he turned to his disciples and spoke to Philip. Here you have Philip challenged. Philip, how are we going to feed this multitude? What are we going to do? It was Philip the Lord addressed. There were other disciples there, of course, besides Philip, yet the Lord spoke these words to him. Now we're told why the Lord spoke to Philip. To prove him. To prove him. But why? Why, Philip? Maybe Philip said the same thing. Maybe Philip in his heart of hearts said, why is the Lord challenging me about this matter? There are other disciples here. John's here. What about Peter and Andrew? Why me? Why me? When troubles come, it's easy for us to say, why me? Why did this have to happen to me? Well, it happened to Philip and the other disciples that the Lord might prove Philip, and he might prove the other disciples. Let us remember what the Lord said about Philip elsewhere. Remember what he said to Philip in chapter 14 of John? There in verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Have I been so long time with you, Philip? Notice how the Lord put that. He didn't say, have you been so long time with me? Because perhaps Philip wasn't always with the Lord, but the Lord was always with Philip. Have I been so long time with you, Philip? And yet hast thou not known me? Why does the Lord prove us? Why do difficulties come upon us? It's to prove us. But why does the Lord want to prove us? To increase our faith. You see, you'll never know how strong your faith is until it's tested by some trial or problem. That's when you know how strong your faith is. You don't know how strong the links are in a chain until that chain is put to the test. And you see which link breaks first. And so it is with our faith. The Lord proves us. It's hard for us perhaps to see it, but it's for our benefit. To help increase our faith and also our knowledge of the Master. For more often than not, trials and tribulations and difficulties come and they bring us closer to Christ. And being brought closer to Christ, our knowledge of him increases. We have these charismatics and their like. They tell us all Christians should never be sick. Don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. Sometimes the Lord allows sickness to come upon us, and he does it, of course, for a reason, that he might increase our faith, make us more spiritual, and give us a deeper knowledge of Christ. If you don't have those times of sickness and trial, then you'll not get to know the Lord in a deeper, fuller way. Many a Christian who has wandered from the Lord has been laid flat on their back. during that time of sickness and infirmity, they've been drawn back to the Lord and into closer fellowship with Him. Time of sickness has proved to be very valuable with regard to their walk with God. And so you have Philip challenged. And then you have Philip's calculation. Once the Lord challenged Philip, he immediately comes up with a calculation. You will notice that his calculation was very negative. For Philip said, mentioned the 200 penny worth of bread. Wasn't enough. Philip answered him, verse 7, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Take a little. We don't even have enough to give every man a little. He immediately thought about the 200 penny worth. And indeed, the other disciples came up with the same calculation. You look there at verse 9, there is a lad here, Andrew said, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Andrew was of the same mind as Philip. And no doubt all the disciples felt the same. They began to work this out in their own minds. And they said, we don't have enough. He immediately told the Lord what couldn't be done. Said he was very negative. He was negative. He told the Lord what couldn't be done. He was thinking about the silver, 200 penny worth. But what's missing there? I'll tell you what's missing. The Lord's missing in Philip's calculation. There was one standing beside Philip who smiles, who laughs at impossibilities and declares, it shall be done. The Lord was beside Philip. And the Lord was the one who can do what man regards as impossible. He himself knew what he would do. Remember when Elijah came to the widow woman of Zarephath? The Lord said to Elijah that he had a woman who would look after him, feed him. And when Elijah got there, the poor woman was out gathering sticks because she had only enough bread for herself and her son. And she said, when we have eaten, we'll die. That was her calculation. Either she didn't know or she'd forgotten about the Lord. She'd forgotten about Elijah's God. For the Lord, through Elijah, confounded her calculations. In 1 Kings 17, verse 16, we read, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. He himself knew what he would do. Could you imagine what it would be like if some of us were sent to that widow woman and we arrived at her house and she hadn't enough bread for herself? Never mind to feed us. We would have been beginning to calculate things out and come up with the wrong answers. As we say, well, if this happens and that happens and the other thing happens, I'm finished. we have to remember, he himself knew what he would do. He's the sovereign God. He's in control of all things. And oh, if we only had the faith to believe that. We say it. Do we believe it? We can say we believe it until it affects us. Then you have Philip's character. We're told that the Lord asked Philip this question to prove him. And of course the answer came back loud and clear. Philip was leaning upon his own understanding. Tells you something about the character of the man. This is something we are all guilty of. In our times of difficulty, we lean upon our own understanding. Instead of leaning upon the Lord. Why are we so slow to lean upon the Lord? We have a difficulty and we waste no time telling somebody else that we're so slow about telling the Lord. Proverbs tells us we're not to lean upon our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Bring him in to the problem. Acknowledge him and he shall direct our paths. Why? Why is the Lord able to direct our paths? Because he himself knows what he will do. Praise the Lord. And then finally you have Philip and his deliverer. The Lord came to Philip's aid. We now come to the best part. For after seeing the difficulty and the despair of Philip, we see the Lord Jesus, the deliverer. We look at Philip and really we see ourselves, do we not? Now we see the Lord. This is the best part. We see the Lord now. Now he comes into focus. For Philip and the others, the situation was beyond them and it was beyond hope. Really? 5,000 men. The hour was late. It was getting dark. They had only 200 penny worth of bread. What are they going to do? Their plight was hopeless. Yet he himself knew what he would do. Why isn't that great? Isn't it great to have somebody who knows what to do? And that somebody to be Christ. First of all, notice his interest. In John 6 and verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? If you compare the four accounts of this miracle, you will discover how the evangelist draws our attention to the interest of the Lord and the situation. He lifted up his eyes. He saw the multitude. He was interested in feeding them. He knew all the money that they had. Christ was interested in the whole situation. There's no mention in any of the Gospels, Matthew 14 and 14, Mark 6 and 34, Luke 9 and verse 11, and John 6 and 5, no mention of the disciples seeing the multitude, lifting up their eyes and seeing the multitude. You see, the Lord saw the difficulty long before the disciples did. And they had already prepared provision. It's not just wonderful. The Lord already had prepared provision in the person of the lad with the five loaves and the fishes. Lord was away ahead of the disciples. We're not usually able to see our difficulties until they're right upon the top of us. If only we knew that our difficulties were coming, then we could, as it were, prepare for them. But there's one who has already prepared. For he himself knew what he would do. He knew what he would do that day. Because he was already prepared for the difficulty that faced the disciples. Does this not make us rejoice? Rejoice in Christ, knowing that he is in control of all things. He's in control of all things. You have his interest. You have his insight. He himself knew what he would do. The Lord already had decided what was to be done. Even before the disciples knew there was a problem, even before they realized there was a problem, the Lord had already prepared for the problem. And we at times say in our difficulties, well, I hope it all works out for the best. We don't know, but the Lord does. The Lord will always work things out for the best. It's not good to know. The situation was beyond the control of Philip and the other disciples, but for the Lord, he was in control. And so, believer, don't despair. Don't despair, for the Lord is in control of your situation. He knows all about it. He knows you don't have enough to go around. He knows you have a problem that you can't solve. He knows you have a difficulty you'd rather not face. He knows. And he knows what to do. That's it. He knows what to do. Maybe you have an earthly friend. And whenever you do have some problem or other, you can talk to them, because you say in your own heart, well, this man always seems to know what to do. Well, you have a friend in Christ who always knows what to do. And then you have the instrument. Consider the words now of Andrew in verse 9. There is a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? There is a lad here. Think of it. Think of this. Before the multitude gathered, before that lad left home, Christ knew what he would do. The Lord brought the lad to that meeting. The Lord brought the people to that meeting. The Lord brought the provision to that meeting. The Lord brought the lad to that place. And there was no need for Philip or the other disciples to panic. The Lord had all things under control, for he himself knew what he would do. It was all taken care of. It was all taken care of. Can we not rest in that when our trials come? He says, it's all taken care of. It's all right. You don't need to worry. It's all taken care of. The Lord has taken care of all things. You just think of His providence. Think of His sovereignty in that incident. Bringing the lad there with the loaves and the fishes. And Andrew said, there is a lad here. He's right here beside us. With the loaves and the fishes. We have a great God. We have a God who knows the end from the beginning. We have one who always knows what to do. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord, we bow before Thee in the presence of the Sovereign Lord, one who at all times knows what to do. And at times, Lord, we know, we confess it tonight because we're so weak. We confess tonight, Lord, we take things into our own hands. We come up with our calculations. We worry ourselves sick because we don't know what to do. Oh Lord, help us to fully trust in the Lord, because He knows what to do at all times. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts tonight. May it be a word that we're able to go back upon and gain comfort from in our times of need. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Grant us all travelling mercy. Grant we'll have a blessed Thanksgiving time together with families and friends. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.